Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Dee Waddell to the broadcast. Dee is the Acting Chief Information Officer of Amtrak. He reports to the CEO and provides business leadership as an executive committee member and is responsible for all aspects of IT with an overall budget of over $270 million for fiscal year 2012. Prior to this appointment, Dee served as a Group Chief Information Officer, supporting the marketing and customer initiatives of the company. Prior to Amtrak, Dee was with United Airlines, leading United.com, and was responsible for e-commerce revenue of nearly $3 billion. Dee has led large initiatives in both business and technology roles at a number of major organizations, including Motorola, Accenture, and the Department of Defense. Dee was recognized in 2009 by the U.S. CIO magazine as a rising star in IT, with special distinction as a standout winner in team building. Dee has a BA in Information Systems from the University of Maryland, an MBA in Strategic Management from the Illinois Institute of Technology, and is currently working toward a doctorate in management from the University of Maryland. I recently caught up with Dee in his office across the street from Union Station in Washington, D.C., and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 3, Project and Portfolio Management, as we spoke about Dee's institutionalization of a program management office and enterprise architecture functions at Amtrak, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we covered the Group Information Officer role that IT has embedded in Amtrak's business functions, as well as his approach to IT strategy and innovation, and some other topics as well. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Waddell, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Dee, you've been a business and an IT executive in multiple places in the travel industry. Mm-hmm. Among other places, you worked at United New Ventures, which was the division of United Airlines that, among other things, worked on orbits and other innovative ideas airline pursued. You're obviously now the CIO of Amtrak. And I wonder, how would you compare Amtrak's IT capabilities relative to what you've seen in other parts of the travel industry?
Yeah, it's a great question. And first of all, thanks for having me on this. I think it's an innovative way to provide your clients and other folks insights to pragmatic views of CIOs. So I appreciate the opportunity. You know, having been at Amtrak as well as United, you know, I think when I was at United, there was a lot of innovation going. It was right during the tail end of the internet boom. A lot of innovation, as you know, and a lot of dollars going to innovative companies and products at that time. Coming here, it is a different environment here at Amtrak. I mean, the corporation is different. It's not a public company in the same that an airline is, or at least some of the top airlines are. It is primarily owned by the Department of Transportation. It is a corporation, so it's different from there. And so the capabilities here at Amtrak are a little bit different. We have different routes. So, for instance, the Northeast Corridor for the high-speed rail is a very business-focused market. Then you have the long-distance trains that are legacy from many, many, many years ago that continue to operate, and the customer segments are a little bit different. When it comes to IT, I think that there are some capabilities the same. So reservation systems are similar. There are some small differences. For instance, I can create trains that perhaps are longer based on demand, whereas planes are fixed in nature. We do have multiple day and multiple stop trains, so there's not one origination and one destination. There are multiple stops along the way, so it provides a little bit different capabilities there. But of course, on the back end with finance and procurement, all those are fairly similar in nature. Another thing that's very interesting is Amtrak has a very diverse group. We have a police force, and while there is some security at some of the airlines and some of the other places, we have a true police force here, and so that's one. We have a mechanical group, which is similar to the airlines, that focuses on the trains, but we also have an engineering group, which really has these large equipment, large machines to lay tracks, to make sure the tracks are in good order, that builds bridges, that does other things. So you have this diverse group that you wouldn't otherwise have at an airline, where some of the other entities, government entities in particular, like police force, security, Now, we interact with TSA and other things on the security side, but we do have our own police force as well. So it's a very different group, and IT has to support those capabilities as well.
You know, it's interesting, for so long, as somebody who's a regular traveler on Amtrak as well as a frequent flyer like yourself, I'm sure, for such a long time, thinking back like 10 or 12 years ago, Amtrak was really kind of behind the airlines in so many different ways. It didn't have a loyalty program for a long time. The check-in process left a little to be desired when compared to the airlines. And I've been really interested as a passenger of Amtrak, but also in getting to know you about some of the new innovations that in some ways reach parity and in some cases actually even go beyond some of the capabilities of the airlines. And I wonder if you could talk about some of those and some of IT's role in producing some of those.
Well, there's a number of examples we could use, and the bottom line is it's been great to see the technology come about, because I do believe Amtrak is at a point where technology can really provide business benefit and in some cases leapfrog some of the other industries. Case in point is with our e-ticketing program. I mean, the bottom line is this is taking 120-year-old plus technology with the paper punch, which, you know, I'm sitting right here, can't show it, but I've got one from the 1880s. From the Woodman trains back then.
Which doesn't look so different from what I've seen on the trains now.
That's right. It actually works very good, considering it's quite old. But the point is, we are at a point where we can leapfrog and we can take these new technology like mobile and use that, whereas the mobile technology is still in its formational stage, I'll say. It's been around for a little while. But from an enterprise perspective and having a scale of 1,700 plus conductors, getting all of that to work is a little bit different from the PC, which has been around for, you know, at least 30 years. So with that, what we're trying to do is just transform Amtrak in utilizing this. Now, what e-ticketing does is allow customers, so today, interestingly, our current ticketing process is you must have a paper ticket. That is a value document. And so with that, it's just like at a movie theater and others, if you don't have a ticket, you don't get on. Right. And there are some exceptions to this where we sell tickets on board and so forth. But generally speaking, you need to have a ticket before you board the train. In this new e-ticketing phase, where we're pushing out extremely transformational from a customer perspective, you no longer need to have this paper ticket. And if you lose it, you can, you know, reprint or show it on your iPhone. It doesn't matter. It's no longer tied to a physical ticket and there's no electronic record. So we now have that, and that's a great capability. Now, for the onboard experience, from a conductor perspective, the traditional hat and punch is, you know, part of their persona. And interestingly, we're providing an iPhone-based platform for them to be able to have real-time electronic communications back with our systems, where we can have increased security and safety on the train, as well as an enhanced customer experience, because now I know which passengers are on the train, I can count revenue faster, and really it just speeds up processing for them and reduces some of the paperwork. So we see this as a fantastic capability for Amtrak, and I think IT has had a great relationship with the business in driving this forward, and it's just been exciting to watch, and we'll continue. We're rolling it out nationwide. We're in about 4 routes right now, rolling it out nationwide here this summer. So it's exciting.
Well, Dee, you mentioned the relationship between IT and the rest of the organization, the business. I was curious actually to see what appear to be some substantial changes regarding IT's relationship to the organization at large. The CIO role used to report to the CFO. I believe it now reports to the CEO. There's been the establishment of so-called GIOs, Group Information Officers, who are responsible for aligning IT assets to the business. So more explicit connection points between IT and the most strategic aspects of the rest of the organization. Can you talk a little bit about that transformation and what it's meant to be more of an active participant in driving business priorities and strategy and so on?
Absolutely. I think as any CIO or any IT organization faces, they're trying to move from the IT-focused capabilities that typically are there around data centers, networks, applications, application development, and so forth, to how do I really work with the business and have business impact. And so I think there's a general transition for CIOs and IT organizations to really take it up the value chain, to add higher level value, particularly at that executive committee member. So back in 2007, Amtrak had brought on a new CIO. His name was Ed Trainer, past national president of the Society of Information Management, just a fantastic, well-known CIO. And that was the first time that the CIO reported to the CEO. It was a big change here. And with that, Ed and his counterparts on the executive committee got together and said, how do we best make this type of a transition? And created this concept of divisional CIOs or group information officers. And so with that, we had created three. Interestingly, that's when I came on. I came on as the first group information officer for the marketing department. And with that, the challenge was really to take an IT organization, where in my opinion had become very internally focused around the business of IT, and really needed to have some transformation to say, hey, how do we best work with the business to deliver business value? We're really not an IT company. We are a traditional company that sells seats on a train and we move people around the country. That's what our business model is. And so with that, you know, I do think it was a time for us to go do that. And I'm very pleased because through a lot of work, and I can talk about some of the ways that we've done that, but is to get out there in front to make sure that there is a credibility that you have from an IT organization, that you're delivering on the core IT principles that you need to deliver, where, you know, the operations go, that things are just happening, the incidents and everything that goes on that happen, that you look at things, you're constantly improving with some sort of process where they feel comfortable. And then it's getting into the environment to talk about the strategy, where IT can play. There's great technology, and having a business partner that's IT savvy is very important, so you can have those discussions. So I think here at Amtrak, we have gone through that transition. We still have some maturity in some areas, but generally speaking, I think we're well on our way. And I think that the business has recognized that. I mean, the CIO continues to report into the CEO, and that's a great sign as a full member of the executive committee. And they've been very supportive of the CIO and for what the role of IT is here, as has the board as well. We've had several presentations with the board, so it's been fantastic, the relationship we have.
That's really great. I noted also the two different aspects that you've institutionalized is the development of a PMO as well as enterprise architecture, that is program management office and enterprise architecture. Can I ask you what the tipping point was in determining that it was necessary to institute each?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when there was a shift here, I mean, traditionally Amtrak has struggled to receive sufficient funds even to keep assets at a state of good repair. And so with that, with the change in the administration, so with President Obama coming on, there was a shift, and he had made rail one of his key signature policies of trying to create high-speed rail around the country, as you know. As a part of that, there were stimulus dollars. Of course, the economy and the stimulus had taken place, and Amtrak was able to participate in some of that stimulus. And of course, we were coming up with projects that would help the state of good repair, but also drive the business as well, and I think they were good projects. So we did see a need, and Ed Traynor is the one that created the PMO and said, we know that there's going to be a fairly significant amount of investment coming in, making sure that there is good governance around that spend, that we have transparency, is the reason that we really put the PMO. And of course, it's to some degree a policing function. It's a gating process to make sure that projects go through the work that a typical project needs. We've had some challenges to mature that, but generally speaking, I think we're finding a happy meeting between the governance and between executing projects. There's some maturity that we need to do and continually improve that, but generally speaking, we're very pleased with the PMO and the value that it has on our programs. The second for enterprise architecture, of course, before all this, we did go through a fairly significant enterprise architecture. We had a partner come on and work with us. At that time, we'd also hired a chief architecture officer. He did a lot of work for us and helped steer that. We gained a lot of benefit from that. Now, I do think that it was a transition for the business to understand what enterprise architecture meant. And going through that process, I think IT gained a lot of value through that. And I do believe the business, in part, gained some value with it. But it was a little bit difficult for them to understand the concepts of enterprise architecture from an IT perspective. So I would give CIOs and IT organizations caution is to make sure that EA is put in the context of a business, particularly having been in that discipline around business architecture, understanding the business side of it and focusing on that, and then allowing the technology pieces to follow. And we really came up with the core projects that we believe were strategic to Amtrak and were socialized with the business. And that's really the basis of what we've been delivering over the past number of years here at Amtrak.
That's great. And it dovetails nicely to another topic I wanted to focus on. I was really interested, Dee, to find out that you're pursuing a doctorate in management with a focus on strategy, in fact. And as somebody who has lived in both worlds. You've been a business executive as well as an IT executive now. What is your approach to strategy from an IT perspective now as the acting leader of IT here at Amtrak? I know that a lot of IT organizations tend to be more tactical in their focus, but I found it refreshing to understand the degree of passion you have for strategy.
Sure, sure.
How do you apply that to the IT department?
Yeah, great question. So I have continued my education. Sometimes when I'm working late at night and trying to get things done, I question if that was the right decision for me. But I am pushing that, and I'm just a real fan of just continual learning throughout a person's lifetime. So with that, I am doing that. And I am focusing on strategy. It is a management degree. However, the dissertation and the pieces that I'm focusing on is around strategy and the effectiveness of strategy, particularly in organizations that have turbulent environments, airlines, Amtrak, you know, others. So what is the value of strategy and where that can be best leveraged? It's an interesting topic. So strategy is very important. Here recently, Amtrak has just gone through a corporate strategy, not just the IT side of it. It's been published out. It's on Amtrak.com for those that are interested in looking at it. And the process that Amtrak took was, I think, a very solid one, where it wasn't just a few executives that got together and said, here's our strategy. Joe Boardman, who was our CEO, worked with a number of folks through the organization and really had it at the top level. It was your director and above levels. Your senior team had the opportunity to talk about the strategy. And we had various working sessions through that, and it was really built by Amtrak people. So I think that the validity of the strategy in a company that has struggled to put a strategy in place. There was even a question if this was the first strategy, and it may have been from a published, well thought through strategy. So I think the company is very pleased with the strategy we've put together. Not that it won't change, not that things don't change, but it is a way of managing where we're all aligned around a common purpose. So with that, I think each of the organizations are continuing to put together their strategies. So like IT, and we're looking at how we can drive strategy within IT, but not just within IT, within the business in the context of that strategy. So it's a very helpful document for the different functions to do that. So we have different things, and one of the things that we're pushing forward is the continued push to plan with the business. There's still a number of areas that we continue to invest in, particularly around the operations environment. There's still plenty of opportunities there around optimizing crew management, making sure that we can get our trains on time in better fashion, understanding some of the costs and what I can do, making my schedules a little bit more automated. There's plenty of things we can do in the operational side around asset management. We have plenty of assets to manage and facilitate, getting feedback for things broken on the train and fixed and things like that. They're very good. But it's all about coming back with a strategy and saying, what are the 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 year plans for us, and working together with the business to have a shared planning document to some degree, and some vision of where we'd like it to go. The other area is around portfolio investment, right, from an IT perspective. So I think it's the CIO's responsibility and our responsibility to look at all the IT proposals that come out from whoever it comes out with, the business or IT, that we look at, and we form a joint team to make the right investment. So I think the portfolio approach is something that, from a strategic perspective, we need to get better in. And we've made some progress there, and we need to continue to push that. So there's a couple of the things that we're looking at, but even mobility, optimizing, consolidation. We've just gone through here last year a complete shift to new data centers. We used to have one very old data center, and now we're in two brand new data centers with our partner IBM. And we're continuing to make progress there, and we're seeing some pretty good operational performance through that shift. So there's some still IT things in our strategy that we need to continue to do, optimize costs, and just be good stewards of IT, but again, focus on working with the business and having that influence with the business itself.
And I'd imagine the GIOs are a big role in that, since, of course, they're embedded in each of these groups. Has that been a major turning point of sorts to enable IT to have the kinds of insights as to where its strategy and its resources will be put to the best use?
Absolutely. And I remember coming on, it was great that Ed Traynor, even in the interviews, had me, when I came on as the group information officer for the marketing customer service area, had me interview with the business, and even very openly said that the GIOs as much report into the business lines as much as they do as IT. And that's what we've been consistent in. I think it's a progressive view of IT, perhaps a little bit non-traditional, but I think it is one that's being grasped by a number of companies, and I think it's very valid because it does provide that intimate relationship with the business, which is just so critically important as technology continues to have pervasive impact.
We've already talked about some significant IT trends, mobility very prominently, for instance. Are there other trends as you look through your personal crystal ball that you are particularly intrigued by that you hope to leverage personally and professionally in the say, next year or two or three?
Yeah. So mobile, of course, will continue to drive, and there's plenty of opportunities. We've actually done some very interesting work around using mobile on inspecting tracks and providing information back of what needs to be fixed in asset management. So we've really done some pretty innovative things on the mobile side. I continue to see mobile driving a lot of innovation. But in addition to that, I also see the social media. I do see some of the cloud computing, although, you know, I think cloud in itself has a lot of opportunity. You know, I think that sometimes we think that it's brand new, per se, but on the same token, it's really a lot of the same things. I just think you're finding software vendors finding an ability to put some of their software on some infrastructure that they run for us. And so for traditional companies like us that's really not in the IT business, there is a very attractive approach to reduce costs, have continual upgrades. So the cloud is very interesting to us as well in some regards. We're actually looking at some cloud-based solutions for email and other things that we're pushing forward. And we even have some cloud offerings today. But another angle I'll talk about is how do you provide, in a company such as Amtrak, which has traditionally been very silo-based, is how do you provide a collaboration tool set to a company that culturally is trying to change from a bit of a command control, bit of a silo base to one that really works together, that can leverage each of the different groups and brings the diversity from the different groups to make good decisions and better decisions for the organization. So with that, we've been talking about how do we really bring that up, and there with social media, with search, we see a new desktop, right? And whether it's the actual laptop or the desktop, the hardware we're trying to stay away from, but it's the interaction. So search. Search is a big deal. I mean, believe it or not, we're still on, I think a number of companies is on shared drives for a lot of the documentation. There is a lot of email, of course, and there are newer technologies out there putting these things on. So for instance, we're moving down a path with Microsoft SharePoint, and we see that in the next generation of SharePoint, the current 2010 version, as well as some of the future versions, what we hear, brings in some of that social media aspect of the instant messaging, the following of people, the posting of small statuses, and keyword-based searches. A lot of data that you can get and an easy way to get access to them. So frankly, from I think an IT perspective, we can provide a next-generation platform for our business, and then hopefully naturally from a grassroots perspective, enable them to become better collaborators across the company. And we're trying to use that as one of our strategies as well, to really facilitate this need to take our organization into a next generation organization around collaboration, transparency, results focused, and other things.
Dee Waddell, thank you so much for joining us in the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Peter. It's been fantastic.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat believes in the power of openness and shared knowledge to transform how we all do business. Learn more at redhat.com. Listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Calhan Cool, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.